The reading this evening is on page 830, and that's Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And good evening, everyone. And if we've not met, my name is Andrew. Lovely to see you all here this evening. Just to say, Jamie mentioned this just a moment ago, but hopefully everyone can at least see one of these kind of bonus handouts. So there's the normal handout on the back of the sheet, and then there's a bonus with a bunch of Bible verses in. Incidentally, this is 41 of the 166 references to faithful. If you search faithful in the ESV Bible, so that is 24.6%. We can just call it a quarter. This is a quarter of the total Bible references to faithful. I printed 30 of these, and there's 30 of us in the room, so hopefully everyone has one. Everyone at least got sight of one close to them, unless some have gone missing. Yeah, great. If there's any spares near you, wave them around. No? We're good. Great. Well, we're going to begin in a moment. I've got a little video clip. There's a series on YouTube. It was kind of a thing about maybe 10 or 15 years ago. Time flies painfully quickly. And back in the early days of YouTube, when the quality was horrendous, fortunately, I found an updated HD version of films in 5 seconds. So popular films, you know, kind of big, well-known films like Jaws, or kind of like all 6 Rocky movies in 6 seconds, or, you know, the Matrix trilogy in 6 seconds, those sorts of things. So this is The Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3, and if you watch them back to back, it'd be about 9 hours. This is The Lord of the Rings in 5 seconds. Well, 5 seconds per film.
Mr. Frodo! Mr. Frodo!
Sam.
It's actually 33 seconds in total. But there we go. It's good, isn't it? And now, I meant to ask this beforehand, actually. Who's seen The Lord of the Rings, just out of interest? Yeah, most. Okay, just a couple. Okay, yeah, that's, I assume that most would probably have seen, but it's one of those things, you're like, man, they came out like 20 years ago now, didn't they? Over 20 years ago. The first one came out in 2000, Christmas 2000. Mental. There we go, that's my moment of nostalgia. Now, the reason it's so good is not because it's just kind of totally silly and funny, but because the relationship between Frodo and Sam is at the heart of those movies. That when it comes down to it, you know, kind of the elf with his amazing skills, the dwarf with his kind of like, you know, gruffness and fighting, the armies of men, even the mighty wizard Gandalf, what all of them are unable to do is accomplished by the faithful friendship between Frodo and Sam. Mr. Frodo, oh Sam, whatever it was. And that bit at the end, you know, kind of where, spoilers. Okay, this is not quite a spoiler if you haven't seen it. For the two people in the room that haven't seen it, you know, sort of, you may not. Oh, okay, all right, Beth. There you go, no spoilers for the story, even for the story, for the films. You know, kind of, I may not be able to carry the ring, Mr. Frodo, but I can carry you. And kind of Sam finally carrying Mr. Frodo to, I'm not going to tell you what happens next. Now, faithfulness. We love it when we see it. Like, we love those kind of those moments within that film when it's difficult, when it's hard, and yet they stick together when Sam is faithful to his friend Frodo, and ultimately that's what wins out. But Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, and this is the first of the verses on these on the bonus handout. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. Again, it's one of those things we all like to think of ourselves as faithful, just as we all like to think of ourselves being described by the other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, loving, kind, good, gentle. But as Jamie kind of said to us a couple of weeks ago, you're only kind if you do kind things. You're only gentle if you act gently. You're only faithful if you act with faithfulness. Well, to know that, we need to know what faithful is. So split off into kind of little groups, twos or threes or fours, and discuss how would you define faithful? If you had to define, what does faithful mean? Because it's kind of, it's a nice word, we're drawn towards it, we like it when we see it, but what do we mean when we say faithful? Twos and threes, a couple of minutes to discuss. Okay, well, I don't know where you got to there. In fact, anyone want to shout out? Where did you get to on how you would define faithful, or whether kind of like other words that you kind of might associate with the word faithful?
Unchanging.
Consistent.
Steadfast.
Promise keeping.
Committed.
Loyal.
Dependable.
Not fickle or flaky. Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Kind of, that's right, isn't it? Sort of all of those words together. So the word faithful, the word there, is the same as the word for faith. So in the Greek, it's the same word that Paul has been using throughout the whole of Galatians to talk about our faith in Jesus. Pistis, faith, used all the way through Galatians to signify a person's response of trust concerning God's salvation through Jesus. So putting our faith in Jesus. But in the context of this list of characteristics of those in whom the Spirit dwells, well, it's obviously, it is faithfulness. And there's a little book, lovely little book called by a guy called, Jonathan Landry? Cruz, that's it, Jonathan Landry Cruz, and it's called The Character of Christ, Going Through the Fruit of the Spirit. And he puts it this way, he says, so faithfulness in this sense is not belief in God. In a sense, it is the opposite of that. Faithfulness makes you a person worth believing in. Faithfulness makes you a person worth believing in. And some of the things that we said, kind of trustworthy, dependable, promise-keeping, someone that you can put your faith in, you know they won't let you down. Of course, that's why we can put our faith in God, because we know that He won't let us down. And the faithful person is one that you can put your trust in. They won't let you down. He goes on, he says, if you are faithful, some of these words we said, you are loyal, true, trustworthy. You keep your commitments, you keep your bond, so that people can put their faith in you. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to continue kind of thinking through some of these characteristics of faithfulness in the Bible. Hence, we've got this little sheet. Rather than hearing my voice the whole evening, it'd be great to kind of have different people reading these verses. Now, I'm not going to pick on people, but also rather than kind of like randomly be around the room, I'm going to sort of like start across here and just kind of like scan across. And if you're happy to read, nod. And if you don't want to read, kind of put a terrified look on your face and kind of shake your head like this, and then I'll know not to pick on you. So I'm going to do three verses, kind of assign three verses up front. Not that we'll read them all straight away, but assign them up front. So Genesis 24, 27, Exodus 34, 6 to 7, Deuteronomy 7, 9. Okay. Couldn't quite work out whether Jamie was terrified there or not, but I don't think so. We'll go with it. So Genesis 24, 27, Abraham's servant goes off to find a wife for his son Isaac, and upon discovering Rebekah, who seems like a wonderful marriage prospect for his master's son, he says, Genesis 24, 27, Now, just say, I'm not going to kind of like talk a long time about each of these verses, because otherwise we'd be here very late this evening, but it just kind of builds up a picture for us of what faithfulness looks like across the Bible. Now, note when we look at Exodus 34, 6 and 7, you get this common link in the scriptures between steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness, those often come together. And it was also there in the first verse that I quoted this evening, which is at the top of those sheets, Proverbs 26. Many a man proclaims his steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find. So the writer of the Proverbs there kind of putting those almost as parallel things, as if it means the same, steadfast love, faithfulness, steadfast love, faithfulness. Loads of people say that they are steadfastly loving, but it's hard to find someone who's faithful, as if those are very, very similar. And God describes himself in those terms, steadfast love and faithfulness. It's also in Lamentations 3, which we'll say together later. But Sarah, for now, if you could read for us Exodus 34, 6 and 7, God describing himself to Moses. Thank you. Abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping, again, steadfast, unchanging, keeping steadfast love for thousands, which is why we can have great confidence in God, because he is faithful in all that he does. So Psalm 119, 75.
I know, Lord, that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
I know that your rules are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. God is faithful in all that he does. When we go through times of blessing and when we go through times of affliction, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Times of blessing, times of affliction. And because God is faithful, as those who have been made in his image, all humans, and as Christians remade in his image through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called also to be faithful. We see it in the Old Testament call for faithfulness in God's people and in the New Testament. So the call in the New Testament, right, I'm going to assign another few verses for row two on this side, if you're happy. Deuteronomy 28:1, Deuteronomy 32:30. Ooh, okay, I'm going to assign a whole load now. Genesis 24, 29. Proverbs 27, 6. Luke 2, Chronicles 31, 12. Back row, 2 Chronicles 31, 18. Nehemiah 7, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Yeah. Thank you. Right. So as we go through, I'll call those out. So firstly, the call to faithfulness, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. So that's the call, but then Deuteronomy 32:30 gives us the reality of God's people in the Old Testament. So God calls his people to faithfulness, and then a couple of chapters later says there is no faithfulness in them. That is the big story of the Old Testament. But as you read through, there are some beautiful, shining examples of faithfulness, Old Testament and New. So we're going to go through some of these to see the breadth of what faithfulness looks like in a number of different aspects. It's not just that we're called to be faithful in one area of life, but we are called to be faithful in all of life. Because faithfulness, like all of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at in the series, remember, it's not fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit, described in all of these different characteristics: love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, goodness. It's a whole life characteristic. So if we are faithful, if you are a faithful person, then you will be faithful in all that you do. So firstly, the faithful person will be faithful in loyalty, Genesis 24, 29. Oh, just to say, sorry, to give the context for this, this is just later in the story that we had before. So going to get that wife, and then the servant is speaking to Rebecca's brother, and he uses the same phrase there. So sorry, Tori, thank you very much. Ooh, 29? Have I got that wrong? Now then, if you're going to show steadfast love and faithfulness to my master. I might have put the reference wrong on the handout, though. Okay. Sorry about that. That could well be wrong then. That verse is definitely somewhere in Genesis. It's almost certainly in chapter 24, but maybe it's not verse 29. So sorry, Tori. That sort of messed you up twice there, didn't I? Apologies. I love the kind of the in-your-faceness of this guy who is sort of Abraham's servant. He's like, right, don't waste my time. If you're going to be faithful to my master, tell me. If not, I'm off out of here. So faithfulness, not just to, you know, God has been faithful to Abraham, and this servant says, look, are you going to be faithful to your family member, to Abraham? So faithfulness described in loyalty, also in friendship, Sam 27:6, Proverbs 27:6.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Faithful in loyalty, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So the faithful person will be faithful in loyalty, the faithful person will also be faithful in giving. They were faithful to give to God. The faithful person will also be faithful in holiness. 2 Chronicles 31, 18.
They were enrolled with their relative children, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, the whole assembly. They were faithful in keeping themselves holy.
As will we, if we are faithful, faithful in keeping themselves holy. The faithful person will be faithful in trustworthiness. Nehemiah 7, verse 2. Yeah, you may remember this if you're here for our Nehemiah series, that it's not nepotism that he gave this job to his brother, but wisdom, someone who had proven there trustworthiness. His brother was someone that you could have faith in. The faithful person will also be faithful to God's word, 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. We also see this Jeremiah, kind of Old Testament Jeremiah 23, 28, let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. But Chris is going to read chapter 2, verse 2 of 2 Timothy.
Faithful
Faithfully hold the word, like you might say, a pillar and buttress of the truth, a firm foundation for the word, holding it fast, not changing it. The faithful person will be faithful to God's word. And then lastly, the faithful person will be faithful in their work. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Thank you. So are we faithful? Are we faithful to God in this comprehensive way? Are we committed to God's word? The faithful person will be committed to God's word, not only saturating ourselves in it by reading and study, but also being prepared to hold to God's word and submit to God's directions for our lives, however personally painful or countercultural that be, faithful to God's word. If we're faithful to God, it will also mean being faithfully committed to prayer, bringing our supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people, not for our needs only, but also for our brothers and sisters, and praying for the salvation of those around us and all over the world, those who do not know Christ. Faithfulness to God will mean faithfulness to those around us, especially our closest relationships in church. So 1 John chapter 4 says this: if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, Christian brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. J.V. Vesco, in a little book called The Fruit of the Spirit Is, says this: God's people should be marked by a faithfulness, a loyalty to the church. When so many things in life compete for our loyalty and faithfulness, it is Christ, our families, and the church that should top the list. All else is secondary. Unless we are ill or on holiday, do we make sure that we are at church faithfully, Sunday by Sunday, and committed to God's people, not just on Sundays, but seeking to spend time outside of that to love one another and serve one another? If we're in a small group, are we faithful in our attendance at the small group we're a member of? Are we faithful in coming to the church prayer meeting? If we're married, of course, faithfulness will mean being faithful to our spouse. All who are married will have stood up in front of a whole bunch of people and God to say, I promise to be faithful to you as long as we both shall live, excluding all others. Now, of course, that doesn't just mean not having an affair. Of course, it does mean that. But it also means not looking lustfully with the eyes, whether on a screen or walking down the street, or imagining lustfully, or even just longingly in the heart, what it might be like to be in a relationship with someone else. Faithfulness in marriage. For parents, faithfulness will mean being faithful to bring up our children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, to discipline them lovingly and consistently, faithfully, to listen to them patiently and lovingly, to help them when they need us. Faithfulness will mean that they can count on us not only in the big struggles, but day to day and everything. For all of us, faithfulness will mean being a faithful friend. Again, Proverbs 20, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? When I think of faithful friends, I think of my mate Guffman from school, Paul McHugh. People found it difficult to pronounce his surname, so he became Guff the Guffer, Guffman. And I just remember once, I can't remember why or what was happening, but basically one of the biggest, hardest kids in the school was coming across to give me some trouble in the playground. He was kind of 2 or 3 years above us, massive guy. And it was pretty intimidating, and the rest of my friends just melted away into the background as if they'd not been there. And Guffman, who was, he was not a huge guy, and he just ran in and pushed this guy in the chest and said, away from my friend. I remember the sheer courage of him, his loyalty, his faithfulness to me. Do we stick by our friends in the hard times and the good? It's easy when it's all kind of easy and fun, but also do we stick with when they are going through the veil of tears? And not just the kind of the really instant crisis moments, like, you know, the cancer diagnosis or the short-term injury, where it can be easy to see ourselves as that faithful friend with them through that tough time. But will we be faithful perhaps through months or years of struggle with anxiety or depression when they aren't particularly fun to hang out with anymore? And most people will drift away because they aren't getting anything back. Faithful as friends. Are we faithful in our work, giving our all not only when we are being watched, as the New Testament says, but also when there is no one around? Working from home for many, of course, will bring a fresh new twist on this challenge. Charles Spurgeon says this about eye service, working when we are seen or not seen. Forgive the gendered language, it was the 1800s. He says, "What a mean and beggarly thing it is for a man only to do his work well when he is watched. Such oversight is for boys at school and mere hirelings. You never think of watching noble-spirited men. Gracious minds outgrow the governance and stimulus which comes of the oversight of mortal man. God's own spirit dwells within us, and we serve the Lord from an inward principle which is not fed from without. This is to be a true servant of Christ, to escape from being an eye servant to men by becoming in the sublimest sense one working ever beneath the eye of God only." Working faithfully. Working faithfully such that anyone looking could say of us what those men said of Daniel when they were looking to find fault with him. That if we are faithful such that people can find no ground for complaint or any fault, because we are faithful. Now, I'm not preaching these from a position of success, from a position of being faithful. There will be multiple challenges for most of us in different aspects of that list. Multiple challenges for me. You all know yours. I know mine. I am conscious, particularly, as I've been looking at this week, conscious of failures in faithfulness to prioritize friends sufficiently, to plan in and prioritize time with family sufficiently. For me, it's kind of, you know, my work is ministry, but that doesn't excuse it. It can be very easy to let ministry fill in all of the gaps so that there isn't enough time left to prioritize the friends that I'm responsible for and the family that I'm responsible to, nuclear and extended. You will know your challenges. Therefore, knowing our unfaithfulness, how wonderful to know that Christ was and is and always will be faithful. Jesus was faithful in his duty, faithful to his Father, faithful for the sake of those who might hope in him. I'm mostly going to probably read these verses, but John 17 verse 4 says this. It doesn't include the word faithful, but you can see the principle is there. John 17 verse 4, Jesus praying to his Father towards the end of his life, about to go to the cross, "I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." Jesus was faithful to his mission so that we now can have absolute faith in him always. In fact, let me get a reader. Ali, would you mind reading Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6? So top of page 3, middle of page 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6.
"Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. As much more, the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope."
Moses was faithful most of his life. At the end, he was less faithful. Jesus was faithful all through his life, more faithful and faithful to the end. And if we are faithful to hold fast, as it says, if indeed we hold fast to our confidence and our boasting and hope, if we are faithful to hold fast, he is faithful to forgive. That verse from 1 John that we read earlier, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Faithful because our sins have already been paid for in Christ. And so if we are Christians and we sin, it would be unfaithful of God to hold our sins against us. If our sins have already been taken at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be unjust of him to hold our sins against us. That verse from that line from before the throne of God, "For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." I remember singing that before I fully understood this, thinking that doesn't sound right. That sounds unjust that God would look on him and pardon me. But my sin has been taken in the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so because of that perfect forgiveness, well, Jesus is the faithful friend who will always be there when we need him. Will never be busy doing something else. Will always have his phone on. He will never betray us or go behind our back. Never fail us. Never let us down. And it is Jesus' faithfulness that is the power for our faithfulness. You see, it is his Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who makes us faithful. Now, our next point I've put, Christians are faithful, which is this kind of the tension throughout the fruit of the Spirit. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, and this is the fruit that will be displayed by Christians. And it's striking and lovely how commonly faithful is used as a commendation of those who worked with Paul in the New Testament, those he considered to be trustworthy. They proved themselves by being faithful in tough times. We won't read through these, but at the bottom of the multi-page handout, Christians are faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:17, that's why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. Look, four references there across Colossians. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank God that he considered me, Paul, faithful. Peter, Silvanus, a faithful brother. You see, these people prove themselves to be faithful through the difficult times. You think of ourselves as faithful to God when the walk is easy, but the test comes on the difficult days, doesn't it? When it's difficult, when we're tired, when the challenge seems too difficult. Now, some of you may remember last summer we were preaching through 1 Kings, and Ali was preaching on 1 Kings and thinking about courage, and thinking about the fact that if we're only courageous when it's easy, and not courageous when it's difficult, well, then we aren't courageous at all. And it's the same with faithfulness. Anyone can seem faithful when it's easy, but true faithfulness is proven or disproven on the day of trial. Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you're unfaithful on the day of difficulty, well, you're not faithful at all." Again, Jonathan Landry Cruz in his book says, it's easy to be a Christian around other Christians, but faithfulness to Christ is formed in the world and forged on the anvil of time and opposition. Faithfulness means sticking with the gospel even when the world wants you to abandon it. You can't say you're a kind person if you don't do kind things. You can't say you're a faithful person if you can't be relied upon. And again, that faithfulness will be exercised in and through each and every other one of the fruit of the Spirit. Again, not a description of fruits, but of the fruit, such that, if I just flick to Galatians momentarily, so 974, 975, this will be the only time that I take us to a cross-reference within the Bible, 974, 975, Galatians 5 and 6. Someone that I kind of looked at to think about this week, just an interesting way of reflecting, because there's the contrasting lists in Galatians verse 5. There are the works of the flesh, verse 19 and 20, and then there is the fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to 23. They said, one of the differences, you can schedule the works of the flesh. You can be like, right, this Wednesday, I'm going to commit sexual immorality. This Thursday, I'm going to do some idolatry. Friday, I'm going to get into a fit of anger. And Saturday, I'm going to get drunk. You can kind of schedule your works of the flesh, but you can't schedule the fruit of the Spirit. You can't be like, oh, on Monday I'm going to be loving, and on Wednesday I'm going to be patient, and on Thursday I'm going to be good, and on Friday I'm going to be faithful. They're not things that we do. They're not works. They are fruit. They are who we are. We can't schedule these characteristics. We are, therefore, to be all of the fruit, all of the time, faithfully gentle, faithfully patient, faithfully kind. Not one day you're kind and gentle and the next day you're mean. There was someone that I knew once who I had to say to them, like I said, I never know which this guy's name I'm going to get when I knock on your door. You know, one day I knock on your door and you're bright and bubbly and friendly, and the next day I knock on the door and you are grumpy and, you know, incredibly sort of, you know, difficult. We are to display the fruit of the Spirit under all circumstances. Well, how do we do this? By sowing to the Spirit, still in Galatians, yeah, there. We do need to sow to the Spirit. You see, think of Psalm 1, the fruit comes as we put down our roots deeply into Christ. The fruit on that tree in Psalm 1 grows as we put down our roots deeply into God. And that comes, as we sow to the Spirit. So Galatians 6:7-9, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Now, it's not an incontrovertible rule, but the man who is casual about his approach to pornography when single is less likely to be faithful when married. An affair, marital unfaithfulness, when it happens, doesn't just happen out of nowhere. It follows a path of getting slowly closer, of imagining, of wondering, of playing with the idea, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh, sowing to the flesh. But true faithfulness will be built if we are faithful with all that God has given us. Not just being faithful when we need to pass, that we think to ourselves, these little things day to day don't matter. When the big test comes, well, I'll be faithful on that day. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. It's about what we do with all that we have been given by Christ. And what is the wonderful commendation on that last day? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. Now I will set you over much. Again, we tell ourselves, I'll be faithful when the real test comes, but this little bit of anger today, this little bit of lust today, this little fudge of my expenses today, well, those don't matter. Jesus says, Luke chapter 16, verse 10, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. These acts, our day-to-day acts of faithfulness or unfaithfulness, are not independent, kind of separate from us acts that we do or don't do. They build our character. They change our character. If we want to be faithful when the real test comes, well, then we need to be faithful today in giving, in holiness, in trustworthiness, in our work to God's word in all ways, both big and small. And sometimes that will be painful. Sometimes it will hurt. But we can be faithful because God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews is written to a group of people who were tempted to give up on their faith because of the persecution that they were facing. And the writer says, let us hold fast because he who promised is faithful. He will do it. We can rely on God. Psalm 15 says, kind of reflecting on the character that God wants from his people, who shall dwell on your holy hill? Verse 1. Then verse 4, the one who swears to their own hurt and does not change. The one who makes a promise, and then when it comes to the fulfilling of that promise, doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, that's more real, more difficult than I thought it was going to be. I can't keep my promise anymore. That's more expensive than it was going to be. I can't keep my promise anymore. That's more inconvenient than I thought it was going to be. I meant the promise when I made it, but I can't keep it anymore. Who shall dwell on God's holy hill? The one who swears to their own hurt and does not change. The one who is faithful. What empowers us to do that? The fact that in Christ, ultimately, it won't be to our hurt. Being faithful, if we are in Christ, ultimately, will not be to our hurt. If we are faithful to Christ, and then faithful to others for his sake, we can make no sacrifice. Revelation 21, verse 10 says this, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you in prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." If we are faithful to Christ, faithful to others for his sake, ultimately we will suffer no hurt. Christ is faithful. Let us be the same. Let's pray. Father God, we know our unfaithfulness to some extent, but there'll be many ways in which we're unfaithful that we aren't even aware of. And yet, Father, we know that you are faithful. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, that if we come to you in humility, if we come to you and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we are faithful unto death, you will give us the crown of life. And so we pray, Lord, would we be those who are loyal, true, trustworthy, those who keep our commitments, keep our bond, so that people can put their faith in us. And would you preserve our faith first and foremost until the end in you. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.